Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you today. Lord bless you. I was sitting there thinking of a number of things while the singing was going on, and almost forgot that I was going to get up and preach. Well, it's time to preach. A little bit of a short song service this morning, so that means I have twice as long to talk. So perhaps the Lord will give me something to say. Anyway, God bless you. It's good to see you this morning. And my word, here we are again already at Thanksgiving time. Isn't that something? Wow. I think there's only about 6 weeks left in the year, and we have a brand new year coming up, 2017. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I can remember a time when 2017 seemed like so far away that it wasn't even worth thinking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Some of you folks, 2017, that just, I remember when I was young, I used to think to myself, boy, I'm going to be 55 years old when the century changes and the new millennium comes. You know, I'll be 55 years old. Whoa, wow. What am I going to be like when I'm 55? Well, that's a few years back. How many of you remember Y2K and all the commotion about that, huh? We shouldn't even be here. We should be with the Lord. You know, we were certainly certain that all kinds of disasters were going to take place and probably the Lord would come. But that's in His hands. That's in His hands. But one thing that we do know, we are to be thankful. Amen? We are to be thankful. Take your Bible with me and let's just look at a few verses this morning. All of the verses that on thankfulness, we've looked at so many of them over the years on a regular basis that we know that we're supposed to be thankful. And this morning, all I want to do is to remind us of that, to remind us that we need to be a thankful people. We should be a thankful people. There's no excuse for us not to be a thankful people. And in chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke, we have the story of the lepers and how 90% of them didn't show any thankfulness for what God had done for them. And let's read that and kind of jump into our contemplation this morning from this portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, if you have it. Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were made whole. They were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. These Samaritans, they have a way of showing up at odd times, don't they? He was a Samaritan, the Bible says. He wasn't one that would normally expect any big favors from anyone who was Jewish. But he got a big one that day, didn't he? So we have this story here of these lepers. And as most of you know, it was a very, very serious thing to be a leper back in those days. I would imagine it would be a serious thing to be a leper today. But it was even more so back in those days. Not simply because they didn't have the medical means to take care of leprosy like we have today, even though I understand it's still considered to be an incurable disease today. Maybe I'm wrong at that, but I understand that it's still pretty much an incurable disease, but they can treat it and what have you. But back in Jesus' day, it had not only medical implications, health implications, it had social implications. You notice that when Jesus came to the vicinity of these lepers, the Bible says they stood afar off. To be a leper was to be someone who was unclean, considered to be unclean, religiously unclean, socially unclean, someone who was an outcast and unacceptable to general society. A leper was somebody who couldn't mingle with the ordinary folks, couldn't go the places and do the things and be a part of society. A leper had to stay away, separate themselves from all ordinary things that would take place in society. And so it was not only a health issue in which your body would slowly, under normal circumstances, slowly be consumed by this terrible disease until literally some of your limbs would begin to fall off. Terrible, terrible disease. But at the same time, you were considered an outcast. You couldn't be a part of society. You had to stay away. Stay away. Stay in your place. And so it was a terrible thing for them medically, and it was a terrible thing for them socially to be a leper. It was just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And Christ comes and he heals them. He heals them. He makes them whole. And you would think that all of them would just be so thankful, and I'm sure that all of them were happy about it. You know that you can be happy about something without being thankful. And I imagine that these lepers, all 10, were probably just thrilled to death. You know, I mean, I would be. I don't know about you, but if I was a leper and all of a sudden I realized that all of a sudden my flesh was healed, my flesh was whole, and I was healthy and normal, and not only did I have my health back, but now I could be a part of society. Now I could begin to live life. I imagine that every single one of these lepers were just thrilled to death. But it says only one of them came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus noticed that. And he said, we're not 10 healed. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? And while they were thrilled about what had happened to them, they didn't have the thoughtfulness. They didn't have the thoughtfulness to return back and simply say to the one who had made them whole, thank you. Thank you. Now, you and I who are Christians, we recognize, I believe, and I hope so, we recognize the fact that we are the lepers. We are the lepers. We are the ones who were outcast. We are the ones who were separated from God. We are the ones who were infected from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet with this thing we call sin. We are the ones who are unclean. We are the ones who were unacceptable to God. That was you and that was me. And you know, dear people, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, Dole, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Maybe life is tough right now. Anybody going through anything tough right now in your life? Let me just rephrase that. Is there anybody here not going through something tough in your life right now? Because most of us have issues of one sort or another, don't we? Most of us have issues of one sort or another. We're facing something. Many of you in this congregation and many that aren't here this morning are facing serious health issues. Serious health issues. Others have issues of other kinds. And we find that life isn't always easy. We find sometimes that life is difficult. And sometimes life becomes so difficult that we find it hard to be thankful about something. We find it hard to feel thankful. We find ourselves grumbling and murmuring and complaining about our situation in life. But I want to remind you something this morning. If you are here this morning and you are a sinner saved by grace, we have so much to be thankful for. I don't care what else is going on in your life. I don't care what else is going on in your life. Christ has died for our sins. Amen. Christ has died for our sins. We have been made acceptable. Our sins are forgiven. We're no longer under condemnation. We're no longer under judgment. I don't know about you, but I think it's something to rejoice about and to be thankful about, that if you're saved, you're not going to hell. How many of you are glad today you're not going to hell? Praise God. Get some Baptist hands up here. We're not going to hell. You say, well, I've got cancer, but you're not going to hell. You say, I'm broke, but you're not going to hell. Amen? My back, I can't hardly take my... But you're not going to hell. We've got something to be thankful about, don't we? No, let's not be like that 90%. Oh, yeah, life can get difficult. It can. We've had a few things happen in our life lately. But, you know, every day, Karen and I, we start off our day by thanking God. And we end our day by thanking God. Yeah, we've been through some tough things. Karen has been through some tough things. But we begin our day by thanking God. God, thank you for your grace and your goodness and your love and your salvation. And thank you, Father, for your protection. And thank you, God, for just being with us and blessing us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Begin the day, end the day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his what? Unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He has given us a gift that is so wonderful, so marvelous, so majestic that we really can't even find words to describe it. The eternal salvation that we have in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved this morning? Now, if you're not saved, why don't you get saved? You say, "Boy, you guys look thankful around here. You guys look thankful. Hey, you want to have a heart that can rejoice under all circumstances? Get saved. Get saved. Accept Christ. Find yourself washed in the blood of the Lamb and find yourself a part of the family of God, and find yourself having God in your life every day, and find yourself indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and find yourself in the fellowship of God and His saints. You have something to be thankful for every day, every day, every day. I'll tell you, folks, there are times when I just have to stop. I'm not lying about this. God is my witness. I just have to stop and thank God. Because he just brings something to mind. He brings something to my heart. And I've just got to stop and thank God. There's been times when I've just stopped and thanked God for a house. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you see television and you watch these news things and you see these poor people around the world who don't have anything to begin with, and then because of war or devastation or whatever it might be, that which they barely have is taken away from them. And they don't have anything, and worst of all, they don't have any hope because they don't have Christ. And it breaks your heart. But it also makes me want to stop and just say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. You have been so good. You've been so good to me for all of my life. And I haven't deserved any of it. And you've been so good to me. Ah. Take your Bible with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. I'm not going to show you any new verses this morning. I guess that's really kind of a dumb thing to say, isn't it? I'm not going to show you any new verses, saying how the scriptures have been completed now for 2,000 years, just about. Why? I'm going to show you a verse you've never seen. I just wrote it last night. But the truth of the matter is that all of this, all of the Word of God is fresh. It never gets stale. It's always fresh. It always speaks to you anew. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, there's a verse on thanksgiving that has always been a blessing to me. It's always been a blessing to me. It says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And it tells us why. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, here's one of those will of God verses that simply just tells us what the will of God is for us. The will of God, if you're a Christian, God's will for you is that you're thankful. That's God's will for you. You don't have to pray about that. Don't have to do any extra research on it. All you have to do is accept it, believe it, and live it. It's God's will for us to be thankful. And then I like the way he puts the verse, because often we read it this way, for everything give thanks. Now, there is a sense in which we can give thanks for everything, but I like the way he puts it here, in everything give thanks. Because no matter what our present circumstances of life might be, we can give thanks. We can give thanks. Now, I'm going to be honest for you. There's some things that I am not so thankful for. You know, there are some things that I'm not so thankful for. But here's the thing about it. No matter what the circumstances are, I can still give thanks. You see, I don't have to be in, you know, some people say, you know, how are you doing? Well, as far as the circumstances go, I'm doing okay. As far as the circumstances. Listen, folks, the circumstances are bound to be negative probably at least 50% of the time. And for some, it seems like it's more than that, you know. We can't wait for the circumstances to be perfect and to be thankful. Say, well, Lord, when the circumstances get just right, I'm going to thank you. No, it says we ought to be giving God thanks all the time. And that doesn't depend upon the circumstances. That it's God's will for me, Gilchrist. It's God's will for you to be thankful all the time. And I find that there is much to be thankful for. There is always much to be thankful for. Now, you see, my thankfulness is a response to the fact, and take your Bible with me and look at a verse here, Psalm 118:1. Psalm 118:1. Turn back there very quickly. Since we had a short song service, I've got to look at a lot more verses because we got a lot more time. Okay. Psalm 118 and verse 1. Notice what it says here. You have it? Let's read it together. Let's have a reading together this morning, all right? Psalm 118:1. Y'all have it? Okay, let's read it together. Here we go. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? He's good. Our God is good. Is he good when everything doesn't go my way? Is he good when difficult things come your way? Is he still good when you get sick? Is he still good when you get cancer? Is he still good when you get some heart disease? Is he still good when you might get in an accident? Is he still good, Karen? God's goodness doesn't fluctuate. God's goodness doesn't change. See, the basis of thankfulness is the fact that God, as to his nature, as to who he is good. Amen. He is the good and gracious God. And he's always good, no matter what circumstances that you and I might find ourselves in. He is always good. That never changes. That's not a variable. God is good. God is good. And his mercies endure forever. And so when I thank God, really what I'm doing, I'm thanking God not upon the basis of my circumstances. Now, there might be things that come into your life. The lepers got healed. Certainly that was a circumstance in their life. That was something in their life that they should be thankful for. So there are things that come into our life that should elicit thankfulness out of us. But a consistent, constant thankfulness to God is based upon not our circumstances. It's based upon the fact that we have a good and gracious and loving and caring and merciful, compassionate God. Amen. And that never changes. And so thankfulness is a response to that. Thankfulness is a response. When I praise the Lord and thank him, it's a response of my heart. It's a response of my heart to a good and gracious God. God, you're good. God, you're good. Now, not only is my thankfulness a response to his goodness, but my desire to live for him and please him, my desire to honor him and glorify him, my heart's desire to live for my God and to please my God is also based not upon my circumstances, but upon the fact of who God is. He is the good and gracious and merciful and saving God. And because of who he is, I want to please him and I want to serve him and I want to honor him. I am glad to be a child of God. Amen. As imperfect as I am, I am glad to be a child of God because I am a child of the good and gracious, saving God. And not only that, but as I want to live and be a testimony for him, as I want to be able to share who he is and what he's done for us and what he is doing and what he will do. I want to be a testimony. I want to be a witness. I want to be a light. And that's a response to who he is. So this idea of thankfulness and praise and living for God and pleasing God and being a testimony, it's all a spiritual response to who God is. Certainly it involves what God has done for us, but irregardless of what God has done for us, it's a response as to who God is. You see? And this means I can be consistently thankful. It also means that you can have a consistent peace. You can have a consistent joy. And what I'm saying is, if you understand this correctly, I believe, if you understand this correctly, what it does, it takes your Christianity out from underneath the circumstances. Your Christianity does not depend upon the circumstances. Your joy, your peace, your thankfulness, your relationship to God does not depend upon the circumstances. And that is so important in Christian maturity. Because if you're always living your Christian life in relationship to the circumstances, you're going to be a very moody Christian. Like a net. There's There's one thing you always see about Annette, normally is a smile. Amen. And Annette, you've had a few circumstances, haven't you? You have, and others too. But dear people, the circumstances do not dictate our Christianity. This shouldn't dictate our Christianity. I am thankful because of who God is. Yes, I'm thankful for what God does for me and has done for me. I'm thankful for those things too. But he does those things for me and to me because of who he is. You see, wouldn't it be awful if our God was a God like some of the pagans' gods? I thought of that before. What if, I probably shouldn't say this morning, but I'm going to anyway. I've got that privilege. What if God really was Allah? What if God really was Allah? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Now, thank God he's not. What would we have to be thankful about? When you stop and think about the God that is portrayed by Allah, a demanding God, a severe God, a harsh God, a God that gives no assurance, a God that seemingly has no love, just makes demands. But you know, if you study the history of paganism, this is the portrayal of most all pagan gods. A harsh, demanding God. A harsh, demanding God that demands servitude and total obedience. And even then, you have no assurance that you've pleased him enough to gain his pleasure. Wouldn't that be awful? I'm so glad that I have a loving God, a caring God. Now, he is holy and he is just and he is righteous. There's no doubt about that. But oh, his compassions, they fail not. His mercies, they are new. He is a good and caring God. And so I can be thankful, and I am so thankful. I am so thankful. You know, until I was saved, thankfulness was not an important issue with me. I can think back on my younger years, I wasn't a particularly thankful young man. I can remember to my early years, even into my childhood. And I remember times when I was very unthankful, very ungrateful. And I've told you all my stories over the years. You folks who have come in lately, you might not have heard them all. But I remember, how many of you remember the story of when my folks gave me a car? And how many remember that story? You remember that story? I've told it to you. I'll tell it to you again. But when I turned old enough to drive, 16, my mom and dad, they didn't have a whole lot. But they were thoughtful and kind. And when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, I learned to drive in the family car. But they went out and they bought me a car. They went out and they bought me a car. And of course, I didn't know they were doing this. This was going to be a big surprise to me. And so they went and got the car and brought it home and put it in the driveway. And then they got me and brought me out to look at it. And I went outside and I looked at that car. It was a 1949 Studebaker.
You wish you had it today.
I wasn't that smart back then, Rick. And I looked at that car and I said, I wouldn't be caught dead driving that thing. You see, when I was a kid back in the 50s, in the early 60s, there were two cars, and maybe some of you, Pete, maybe some of you who are more my vintage, maybe you can attest to this, but there was a couple of cars, there was a couple of things that were just totally uncool. One of them was that vintage of a Studebaker. Now, I had a friend who had a Studebaker truck, and that wasn't too bad. But to drive a Studebaker, at least in my circles, that was the most uncool thing that you could be caught doing, is driving a Studebaker. And I wouldn't step foot in the Studebaker. And so instead of saying, "Thanks, Mom and Dad, wow, that's really cool, that's neat, I really like that." Of course, another thing back in my day that if, in my age you wouldn't be caught in was a station wagon. We call them pillboxes. But at any rate, I was extremely unthankful. I can think of other things also. I was looking at everything from a selfish viewpoint. And that's natural for us. We are naturally selfish people. We're not naturally thankful. You have to teach your kids now, say thank you. Say thank you. You know? Say thank you. And that's a hard one to get through. They'll grab it and say thank you. Well, they may say thank you, but are they really thankful? They're just glad to have in their little mitts whatever it is they want. That was the same way for a long time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Paul says in this passage, he says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the idea here is not to be under the control of alcohol or some other foreign substance, but to be under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, exhibiting a joy and a gladness and a happiness. And also look in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here Paul doesn't simply say in all things, but he says for all things. And I understand that in the light of Romans 8:28, where it says that God works all things together for our good. But at any rate, the Bible teaches us that for the Christian who is under the control of the Holy Spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, spiritual response is gladness and joy and thankfulness. So while thankfulness may not come naturally to us, when we get saved, there's no excuse for not being thankful. The excuse is taken away. Because we have, by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to be thankful, people. And so I just want to encourage us all this morning, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes have, like at our harvest banquet, sharing things we're thankful about. And we have so much to be thankful about, folks, no matter what our circumstances. You know, we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. Our sojourn is sometimes difficult. We have hardships. And someday the sojourn is going to end and we're going to be with the Lord. And let's be thankful during the sojourn. Let's be thankful during the sojourn. And as I approach this stage of life, I want to say something, and that's simply this. At this stage of life, I'm thankful that the sojourn is short. I do not want to stay on the pilgrim pathway forever. And so I'm thankful for God's provision and his blessings and his salvation. And I would like to encourage you to be thankful, no matter what the circumstances, because we have a good God. And may I say one more thing, at least one more thing. Don't run out of things to say usually anymore. But I want to say this also. I want to say, let's be thankful not only to God, but let's be thankful to each other. Because I have found in my sojourn that normally God ministers to us in one way or another through other people. And we ought to be thankful to each other. And not just to those who are gathered here this morning, but there are many others in your life. Spouses, be thankful to each other. I was noticing this past week. How many times Karen says thank you? And I think I say thank you. We do some little thing for each other. We say thank you. Well, probably not 100% of the time. I don't want to appear too. But we are careful to thank each other. You know, we don't take each other for granted. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And when somebody else, this congregation has been so good to us over the years. Thank you. Thank you. So many people have helped us in so many different ways. I want to say thank you for that. And I want to thank God for his goodness to this church. Amen. In March, this church will be 38 years old. And that time has seemed to have gone by very quickly. 38 years old. And God has been so good to this church. There's been so many good people in this church. You folks are wonderful people. There's been wonderful people in the church in years past. Many have moved on. There's a good number in heaven now. And God has been good to this church. Back in 1980... we started the church in 1979, in March of 1979. In April of 1980, God brought Randy and Shelley to the church. And they served in the church faithfully for many, many, many years. Randy, of course, was a police officer, as all of you know. Served in the church, served with the young people, served in other ministries, music ministry, just doing everything and anything. And then, as you know, 6 years ago, Randy retired from the police department and wanted to serve the Lord, and the church called him as an assistant pastor. And he served faithfully in that position. And then 2 or 3 years ago, his position changed from assistant pastor, and the church called him as co-pastor. And these past 6 years, I think you will agree with me, that Randy and Shelley have done a great job.
Amen.
And we are thankful for them. And the idea was not only that Randy wanted to serve the Lord, but we recognize the fact that I'm getting older. And the idea was that the time would come when Randy would be the lead pastor, the head pastor of the church. And that time has come. And this morning, I'm announcing that at the end of this year, I'm resigning as co-pastor of the church. Now, with that said, everything's going to be fine. Pastor Randy is more than qualified. In reality, he's been doing the job of the head pastor for some time now. And it's time for me to step down. And the idea is that Karen and I are not leaving the church. We're not leaving the church. We still want to be involved in ministry. Of course, all of this is with the church's approval. You need to understand that, with the church's approval. That will be presented to the church after the first of the year. But I'm going to serve the church in a lesser capacity. It will still be a pastoral capacity, but it will be a lesser capacity, a support capacity. And I'll still be around, and I'll still be preaching and teaching and involved with the church. But as of January 1st, Pastor Randy will be the lead pastor in the church. And I wanted to announce that to you this morning and to let you know that. So anyway, the church has a great future, and we have a great God, and we're just going to go on serving the Lord. And the only thing that's going to change is my role is going to change a little bit, okay? Karen, you're going to have to put up with our mugs until the Lord calls us home. Our role in the church as time goes on will change. So anyway, I wanted to tell you that, and I want to thank you for everything, and looking forward to serving with Brother Randy and going on as we have. And things have been going good, folks. I mean, you know, Pastor Randy has led in all so many improvements that you see it in the church, and his preaching and teaching and all of it is just spot on, and so we got a great future. Amen. Great future. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for enduring through that. So let's all stand together and let's sing a stanza. Let's sing a stanza of number 147. 147. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, folks, and I want to say one more thing, just in case anybody has any questions about this. This decision is my decision. Okay, there's been no outside influence or pressure or anything like that. This decision has been my decision, and Karen's decision. And so I just want you to know that, okay? All right. Okay, let's sing stanza one. Let's see, what's a good one here? Well, stanza one and stanza seven. Let's sing those two and then we'll close, okay? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Great gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Amen. So go ye forth and be ye thankful. Let's pray. Our Father, as we close the service this morning, we thank you and praise you for your love and your goodness. Lord, you are truly the good God. And Father, we are thankful. We rejoice in your goodness. And Father, I pray that you'd go with us throughout this week. Lord, we thank you for the special emphasis of this week, where we can enjoy each other's company and family and all of the wonderful things that come along with this time of the year. But Lord, we can be thankful to a great, gracious, good God. And we praise you and we give you glory now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you.